Today, stronger growth in the rearview mirror, yes, but... Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. Well, the government may be celebrating strong economic growth figures, but it makes it more likely the RBA will increase rates sooner rather than later. So perhaps good news is really also bad news. Money markets are now pricing in a one-third chance of a second rate increase from the Reserve Bank later this month. According to the ABS, Australian gross domestic product, GDP, rose 0.8% in the December quarter 2025 and 2.6% compared to a year ago. That's seasonally adjusted chain volume measures. This is the strongest pace of annual growth in 3 years and faster than any other advanced economy. The ABS said there was broad-based economic growth in the quarter, with rises observed in a large majority of industries. Public and private demand each contributed 0.3 percentage points to GDP growth. But while household spending recorded some growth, government spending was the main factor influencing overall growth, with public demand up by 0.9% over the quarter, outpacing private demand by just 0.4%. The GDP per capita did increase for the fourth consecutive quarter and is now 0.9% higher than a year ago, the highest through the year growth since December 2022, helped possibly by a slightly low level of migration. But as Tarek Brooker highlighted on X, the mild rise in household consumption per capita, deflated by working age population seen in the second quarter and the third quarter of 2025, has actually reversed now, and it's slightly below where it was in June last year. So even here, the story is much more complex than first appears. The data showed that household spending rose 0.3% in the quarter and 2.4% through the year, and discretionary spending rose 0.4%. reflecting the expansion of Black Friday sales and strong attendance at sporting and concert events. Spending on essential goods and services grew 0.2% in the quarter, and essential services grew 0.4%, but it was offset by lower spending on essential goods, which fell by 0.5%. Expenditure on electricity, gas, and other fuels fell 9.5%, driven by decreased electricity usage, down 3.3 percentage points, and reduced out-of-pocket expenditure due to government rebates, dropping 6.2 percentage points. Electricity rebates are recorded as government expenditure, of course, and household spending excluding electricity rose 0.4%. And it's worth remembering that all of those rebates are now unwinding. State and local government expenditure rose 1% with increased spending on electricity rebates and employee expenses across health, education and police. And Commonwealth expenditure grew 0.8% in the December quarter. Now, there were increases in the level of production in 17 out of 19 industries. Mining production increased 2.6%. That added 0.3 percentage points to GDP growth as mines resumed work following scheduled maintenance in the previous quarter. Agricultural production rose 2.5%, reflecting favourable growing conditions and international demand for Australian meat. Increased mining activity, matched with higher export prices for mineral ores, rose a rise in mining profits, which increased 5.7% in the quarter, and profits for all corporations increased 2.2% in the December quarter, the highest quarterly increase since the March quarter of 2023. So again, we are seeing corporates booming in terms of profitability, with income growth for households much lower. Private investment increased for the fifth consecutive quarter, growing by 0.7% and contributing 0.1 percentage points to GDP growth. The rise follows a 3.2% increase in the previous quarter, and investment across most asset classes maintained high levels. Machinery and equipment fell 2%, though, following a 7.8% increase in the December quarter. and investments in data centers and aircraft were maintained at high levels, and investment in the M&E was 4% higher through the year. Housing investment contributed 0.1 percentage points to GDP growth, with a rise in construction of apartments and high real estate turnover. Public investment grew by 0.9%, maintaining its strength following a 3% rise in the September quarter. State and local government investment grew 1.4%, driven by transport infrastructure, and Commonwealth government investments grew 3.3%, driven by higher investments in a range of defence assets. The household savings ratio to income increased to 6.9%, up from 6.1% in the September quarter, and the ratio is now at its highest level since the September quarter of 2022. And household disposable income rose 1.8%, significantly higher than the nominal increase in household spending of 1.1%. Compensation of employees rose 1.4% to be 6.5% higher than a year ago. This rise, combined with an increase in non-life insurance claims and high incomes from unincorporated enterprises, drove the overall rise in household gross disposable income. Now, Chalmers said growth in our economy is now much stronger and broader, and that's very welcome, but then added, these really encouraging numbers are a very robust foundation from which we confront intense global economic volatility, made worse by the dramatic escalation of hostilities in Iran and across the Middle East. So now he has a bulletproof alibi to explain away its own contribution to persistent inflation, or why rates look certain to rise again. And if you look carefully, the national accounts demonstrated how much of the economic growth over the second half of last year was still being driven by government spending. Sure, public and private sector demand each contributed an equal share of the total 0.8% economic growth over the quarter, according to the ABS, but the fact that the public sector is only one-third the size of the total economy means an apparently equal level of government spending does actually signal a much higher relative impact. The quarterly figures also showed absolutely zero improvement in labour productivity, the measure that makes it possible for the economy to grow without hitting inflationary speed limits. As Shane Oliver over at AMP said, while Australian productivity growth was up 1% over the last year, it remains close to flat on a decade ago. And so if there's no further improvement, this will act as a constraint on living standards over the long term. And while low private sector investment did indeed pick up last year, it's still not broad-based beyond the new fashion for building as many data centres as possible, as quickly as possible. And this rather contradicts the Treasurer's claim that the defining story of the Australian economy in 2025 was the pickup in private sector activity, which these figures confirm. And a reminder that recently the OECD reported the economy is normalising, but long-standing challenges of slow productivity growth, strained housing affordability, and high carbon emissions should be addressed. Competition has waned across the economy over the past two decades as business dynamism has declined and market concentration and profit margins have risen, with economic growth returning to potential and inflation expected to stabilise within the target range. Fiscal policy should focus on steadily reducing the budget deficit while improving the efficiency of the tax system. And Warren Hogan said on X, federal government consumption, read recurring spending, remains at record highs of around 11.25% of GDP. From the 1980s through to a decade ago, it averaged 7.5%. Some of this is demographic, but the reality is this is a decision to spend more and tax more. But in a capacity-constrained economy, the cost of this incredible lift in government spending is not simply higher taxes, it is the resources denied to the rest of the society and the upward pressure it puts on those scarce resources. Our most pressing challenges are being thrust upon us through demographic change and the rise of new technologies. But this is self-inflicted, a choice. The pandemic response was clearly temporary. This last few years looks anything but temporary. And he said again, latest data on federal government income tax revenues pushing higher and higher. Our federal government is heavily reliant on income taxes. We knew this 30 years ago and introduced a GST, and received a genuine income tax cut. But now in 2026, we have income taxes back to where they were in the year 2000, plus a 10% GST. And yesterday, Governor Bullock emphasised that it would discourage people from thinking that the RBA necessarily only moves every quarter and would be seeing a live meeting in March, which suggests a rate increase in March is definitely on the cards. After all, again, the ABS data show clearly the capacity in the economy is in overdrive. And she reminded the audience the headline inflation at 3.8% and the unemployment rate at 4.1% is tight, she said, referring to the RBA's previous tightening cycle, in which the board raised the cash rate without waiting for quarterly CPI data. With inflation already well above the top of the RBA's 2-3 target band and the labour market remaining tight, Bullock said the board would be actively looking at whether or not it needs to move more quickly. On the labour market, by the way, Governor Bullock stated that the unemployment rate will probably have to rise if the labour market remains tight. Although it's challenging to quantify extra demand, she pointed out that labour market indicators were telling us something. In terms of the exchange rate, she said that the recent increase in the value of the Australian dollar on a trade-weighted basis was in line with the historical correlation between exchange rates and rate differentials. The increased exchange rate was, quote, nothing out of the ordinary and was a typical outcome of monetary policy. And on the energy shock, Governor Bullock stated that this one might be a bit harder to look through because we already have elevated inflation and there is a risk that expectations might become a little bit unanchored, referring to the possibility of a supply shock brought out by events in the Middle East. Note that earlier RBA research showed that petrol prices are the most significant factor influencing inflation expectations. And yes, petrol prices will rise. And we should note that the board's approach, according to Governor Bullock, has been to try and get inflation down to the goal in a fair amount of time while maintaining the employment gains. But she raised the question of how patient the board can now be. So all up, yes, in a way, good news is bad news. And the news, of course, was very much in the rearview mirror. Things are changing quite fast. But for me, the two critical takeouts are first, government spending is still too high. Taxes, particularly on households, are way too high. And we must expect more rate rises. And the rate rise incoming in March is a definite possibility. That, of course, with everything else that's going on at the moment, will not be good news at all. And I suspect that over the next few weeks, we're going to see some more bad news too. So, Chalmers, stop spinning. Time to tell us the truth. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.